The Gospel according to St. Luke, the 12th chapter.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Someone in the crowd said to him, "Teacher, tell my brother to divide the family inheritance with me." But he said to him, "Friend, who set me to be a judge or arbitrator over you?" And he said to them, "Take care. Be on your guard against all kinds of greed, for one's life does not consist in the abundance of possessions." And then he told him a parable. The land of a rich man produced abundantly, and he thought to himself, "What should I do? For I have no place to store my crops." Then he said, "I will do this. I will pull down my barns and build larger ones, and then I will store all of my grain and my goods. And I will say to my soul, 'Soul, you have ample goods laid up for many years. Relax, eat, drink, and be merry.' But God said to him, 'You fool, this very night your life is being demanded of you. And the things you have prepared, whose will they be?' So it is with those who store up treasures for themselves, but are not rich toward God." The Gospel of our Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
You may be seated. Let us pray. May the words of my mouth and the meditation of each heart be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our Redeemer. Amen. This is a very familiar text. Now, when I was a kid, my parents had a bunch of these small Bible story books, and I think Arch Books published them. I don't know if anyone else had any of those. And this story was in there. This is one of the books that they had. And I think the last picture in the book was of a guy lying in his bed and the sun going down when his life was required of him. And this story always captured my attention. You know, growing up on a farm, the idea of not being able to work and take my ease kind of tickled my fancy. My dad had other ideas, of course. So, you know, how do you, or how do we as an adult, hear this parable? You immediately think of your savings account, or if you're fortunate enough, your 401k. You think you should cancel your annual meeting with your financial advisor? This is one of those stories that's pretty straightforward. Jesus cautions folks about greed and then proceeds to tell them a story to illustrate the point. A greedy guy amasses wealth and thinks he's in control of his life. And God laughs. Now, this would not be a bad place to start. We focus on greed for a few minutes and then we move on with the service. However, I want to invite you to dig just a little deeper into this story. What is behind the greed? What are some of the thoughts the person's having that makes them greedy? Now, I imagine that there are many reasons, but in this story, I think just under the skin of greed lies the idea of having complete control. This guy from the scripture, who's identified obviously as a rich farmer, which is how we know it's a made-up story because there are no rich farmers, and others like him believe that they have complete control of their lives. They believe they are the captains of their destiny, masters of their life. And I've been thinking about control and looking at my life, and I've had a good life. I haven't done too bad for myself. It could be tempting to say that I earned everything that I have and all the achievements are my own, kind of like the guy in the parable. But then I start to add the things up in my life that I really didn't have control over. I was born into a family that had wonderful parents and grandparents that were there to cheer me on and support me when I failed. I didn't control that. I was born with an aptitude in math and science. I didn't control that. My sister, who is 8 years older than me, reminded me the other day that I had helped her pass her statistics class when she was in college. I think I was in the eighth grade. Now, that may sound impressive, but it isn't. Math just has always kind of made sense. I didn't spend hours working at it. I didn't earn it. I was just born that way. In 1978, the cost for tuition, room, and board at Ohio State University was estimated at $3,200 per year. $3,200 per year. I was able to work before college and during college to pay for school. The reason I could was because the state of Ohio thought college was important back then, and they supported the state colleges to make education affordable without driving me deep into student debt. I did not control the state of Ohio. I graduated debt-free, enabled by others' decisions. I was born a white male, which has significant advantages in our society. I didn't control that. Had I been born in Egypt or Israel, I would have had a different skin tone and might not even be Christian. I didn't control that. My point is that is with everything that's happened to me beyond my control, I believe that I was born on third base. How dare I think I hit a triple? The rich farmer in our story believes he's in control. And look at all the I language that's in the parable. And he thought to himself, what should I do? For I have no place to store my crops. I will do this. I will pull down my barns and build larger ones. And there I will store up all my grain and my goods. And I will say to my soul, soul, you have ample goods laid up for many years. Relax, eat, drink, and be merry. Now, he is not causing his land to produce. A change in weather, and his bumper crop goes to a bummer crop. Someone else is probably planting his fields, or at least he's getting help. He isn't by himself pulling down the barns and rebuilding them. He is dependent on others as the rest of us. But the illusion of having control over every aspect of his life allows him to be greedy. Now, I know I'm making it sound like we have no control or that trying to take control is always bad. It's not. We all have control how we respond to other people. We can be kind to strangers. That's within our control. We can reach out and support our family and our friends. We can pick up the phone and call others. That we can control. We make decisions daily on how we use what we have in our life and how we impact those around us. We decide to tip poorly or generously. We decide how we're going to support the ministries we are exposed to, including this church and its many outreach programs. That we have control over. See, wisdom is fully understanding what we can control and what we have no control over. In the story, Jesus calls the guy, the rich farmer, a fool. You fool, don't you know your life is required of you tonight? And as I pointed out, so much of our life is beyond our ability to control, and we need to understand that. Often the largest blessings in our life are the results of things we didn't have control over at all. And having the wisdom to recognize how little control we have in our life leads us to this place of gratitude. Interesting, isn't it? The folly of thinking that I've earned everything in my life, can control all aspects of my life, leads to greed and selfishness, while recognizing the wisdom of knowing how much in our life is just a pure gift of God leads to gratitude and generosity. That's an important point. Recognizing how much of our life, even our life itself, is a gift from God. This wisdom leads us to gratitude and generosity. If I did not earn it, then how can I be anything else but grateful? Now, I've just spent a few minutes talking about control, the wisdom of understanding how little control we have. The parable, as we see in the beginning, is about greed, and the story is set around someone having a life where everything is going well. And while the scripture deals with greed and the proper perspective regarding abundance and wealth, It has led us to discussing what we control and what we cannot. And since we're discussing things outside of our control, I feel it actually would be a little disingenuous if I did not spend a moment on the other side of the coin. Just a moment on the negative things that happen in life that are beyond our control as well. And when I was writing this sermon, I could imagine people in the congregation sitting out there perhaps thinking to themselves, it's a piece of cake to be grateful when things are going well. But what about when things are not going well? What about when there is a sudden illness or an accident or a death? Am I supposed to be grateful for that as well? That's a hard topic. And I was kind of hesitant to bring it up today, frankly. But again, we all know that life's not one-sided. We all have negative things that happen that we don't control. I have a friend of mine in New Orleans who is the picture of health. Eats well, eats healthy. He is at that right spot on the doctor's weight chart, which I think was impossible till I met him. He's not considered obese by any means. He runs several miles a week. He probably looks 10 years younger, maybe 15, than he actually is. He has throat cancer. Last I checked, he's in remission. He did everything in his life correctly, and he still got sick. Why? I have a number of friends who are working at jobs, and their company just decided to close down. Suddenly, their economic picture and their future looks vastly different. They didn't have control over that either. Bad things happen to folks all the time that are beyond their control. We know that. We tell our friends going through tough times to not blame themselves, that things happen, and that's probably the most honest response we can give. While not everyone here may think of themselves as wealthy or financially secure, I'm sure everyone here can talk about the bad things that's happened in their life. All of us can talk about something really awful that's happened to us that we did not cause, something we did not anticipate. If you have ever said or thought, this is so unfair, and you weren't a teenager talking to your parents, you know what I mean. And without going into a specific detail of any one event, I'm going to tell you that in my experience, it's when the bad things have happened to me that I've actually felt closest to Jesus. That is a summary of a long process to get there. I'm an engineer, so naturally when bad things happen, I try to solve problems myself. However, sometimes the problem is so big and so outside my ability to influence, which is a nicer word for control, that I can only throw up my hands and say, help me, Lord. Help me because I'm drowning and I do not see a way out. Yet God does. And what I learn is to trust more, to rely on God more, and maybe years later realize I feel grateful for what happened. I feel gratitude that this really awful thing happened because it changed and improved my relationship with Christ. It made me recognize my need for a Savior. What we learn from our faith, what we're taught in life, is that so many things in our life are beyond our control, both wonderful and terrible. And for us, the believers, that is only one constant, and that's the person of Jesus Christ. The good things and wonderful things should lead us to gratitude, sure. The tough things, the terrible things, can lead us to trust our Lord more and deepen our relationship with Christ. We have a God who loves us. We have a God who, in the person of Jesus Christ, went through all the joys and all the terrible things of this life. Jesus understands. All we can do in all things is trust in the love of God through Christ Jesus. Amen.